Welcome to Shot City Lives with Mike Rice on Q4 Radio. We are live streaming at Q4.org, simulcast on 1680 AM Chicago. You might be tuned in via the TuneIn app or iTunes Radio, however you're doing so. We do appreciate you doing it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I'm looking forward to this. And the airwaves are all yours.
Wow.
All right.
What could possibly go wrong? Here we go.
We're going to do a Hoagy Carmichael tune. This is about the right month and the wrong city. Memphis in June, a shady veranda under a Sunday blue sky. Memphis in June and cousin Amanda's making a rhubarb pie. I can hear the clock inside ticking and a talk. Everything is peacefully dandy, and I can see old Granny just a-sitting there and rocking, watching the neighbors go by, go by. Memphis in June, sweet oleander, blowing perfume in the air. Jumps a moon to make it that much grander. It's paradise. Won't you take my advice? Nothing's half as nice as Memphis in June. Inside a ticking and a talking, everything is peacefully dandy, and I can see old Granny just a sitting there and rocking, watching the neighbors go by, go by. Memphis in June, sweet old that much grander. It's paradise. Won't you take my advice? Nothing's half as nice as Memphis in June.
Feels like Memphis in June right here in the studio.
Right?
Let me get that snare drum real quick.
Uh-oh, Paige's going to get the snare drum.
We got a snare going?
Yeah.
I can't hear it.
She's going to find her inner Gene Krupa.
Sonic hearing.
She's going to find her inner Gene Krupa.
There we go. All right.
Thanks, Pedro. I couldn't hear it through the headphones, so it was not...
I spend my life doing that because...
That's what she does with me. She's constantly, yeah.
Constantly tweaking things.
That's right.
Is that what she's been doing all these years with you, Andy? Is tweaking you?
Yeah.
No. I don't tweak Andy. Andy's untweakable.
I can't ready tweak.
How's your summer so far?
So far, it's great.
Yeah.
How about you?
I guess it's technically
not
summer.
Are we in spring? Yeah.
Was that we're like? But I feel like after Memorial Day, I feel like we just can call it summer. Yeah.
Busy. I mean, we both are very busy. We play almost every day. One or the both of us is pretty much playing every day, except for hopefully one day we try to meet somewhere at the house and hang out, but you know, we're always
actually see each other.
Yeah. I mean, we see each other a lot, but yeah, it's like it's pretty hectic right now, so it's good. I mean, summer's always busy. There's all kinds of art fairs and outdoor gigs and parties, things coming up at the last minute. So,
you like the busy schedule?
Yeah, I like it better than the not busy schedule. Yeah. I feel like ever since the pandemic ended, things have been, for me at least, just a lot busier. But I like that because
not only the financial compensation, but just you like to stay busy.
Yeah, and just something about as the pandemic was kind of winding down, I had this just, it's kind of dying down a little bit now, but I had this energy, maybe everybody did, like just this pent up energy to just, I just wanted to be out doing things and living. And it even went so far as like, I wanted things to be more colorful in life, like put all these painted the walls of our house, all these colors. I needed food to be spicier. Like, it was like I just wanted to be out alive. So I think that kind of energy for me has kind of propelled something, you know, post-pandemic. I wonder if a lot of other people felt that way, like really cooped up.
It was pretty vanilla for like 22 months. I mean, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't go. And I think your mind is like, you're like, I crave these things that maybe even you didn't even crave before. It's just because it's so different. Things were so bland, you know? You couldn't do anything. And people were bland.
Yeah, I mean, and I like being busy. It's hard when you're a musician because you can't ever complain about being too busy, or like it's just like a weird thing where people, you know, incorrectly, you know, are saying, oh, you do what you love, and like most people can't even have that luxury. And so, you know, it's definitely, you feel grateful. And but you know we're both about to be 50, and so, you know, you're just, you know, people laugh, we play with people that are a lot older than that, so they're like, oh, you're just a kid, you know. But when you're 50, your body and you're, you know, just drop mostly like the driving and the sort of just putting on your sport coat and you're combing your hair and flattening down your eyebrows and putting on your face and going
shaving your ears.
And like, you know, just having to talk to people and be friendly and be, you know, playing music is hard too, you know, and having to keep it up to a certain standard. You'd like to put in time at home practicing and listening and just feeling stimulated by music. And so when you're running around maybe a lot, you know, you don't get to do that. So a little bit of a break, I think, is good to just, you know, recharge your batteries.
Yeah.
So we've been able to keep a balance.
But I've never been one of those people like, I need my work-life balance. But I think that's anyone in the arts.
Yeah.
We don't know such a thing as work-life balance.
You're used to the hustle.
Yeah, I've been doing the hustle, like you were asking. We just had a conversation about, you know, you being an actor previously, and as someone who grew up in the arts, and since I was a little kid, I was literally working, you know, in the arts. But I think that's just what, I don't know, what I'm used to. Yeah. And I don't really want the balance. My mom is finally going through a bunch of stuff. She's turning 80, and we're trying to get her to pare down all the stuff. So I had to go to her house and sift through a bunch of, well, luckily through my old stuff, which was kind of interesting. And just seeing, I went to an art school. That's where Andy and I met when we were 16, believe it or not. But I was looking through. The school started in the fourth grade, and just all the tons and tons of all these programs and all these things. And I was like, man, I was busy, like, since I was a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's just kind of what, in the arts, just what you're used to.
You're used to.
You're in the hustle, exactly.
And also, you kind of preach that. If you want to succeed, you got to bust your ass.
Not yet.
You got to do it. You just got to get out there and do it.
And I had so many terrible day jobs. I mean, I've had every type of job one can imagine and more. So to now be, I don't have to have a day job right now. Like, I don't care how many gigs I have to play, as long as I don't have to do a day job. Man,
right on. What is this kind of talking about, this being involved in this for so long? What is like the best piece of advice or something you can remember that was told to you by a mentor or somebody, that a teacher or somebody? What's a great piece of advice that you still think about every day?
I got one right off the bat. It just popped into my mind. Like, there was a singer that we lived in New York very briefly, and there was a singer there that actually used to teach lessons in our apartment. And Andy was the accompanist, and different singers would come in. So I had the benefit of like overhearing all these lessons and kind of almost being
right,
part
like
of it.
He was a vocal teacher, but he didn't play.
Yeah.
Piano.
Oh yeah, so I should.
I would accompany his students, and he also needed a venue to teach said lessons.
He was a hustler. But he said one time to me, And I think he said this as a compliment. He just said, I like that you don't have like that much pretense with your singing and your style. And he just said, there's no act like no act. And I really like that, because that's just like, be yourself, don't have an act. That is the act.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that is like a sage advice.
Yeah, right.
Andy, one I had from a mentor in Cincinnati was, keep a low overhead and learn to live like there's a depression on at all times.
And find a wealthy wife.
Yeah. Every time I talk to you, Andy, you become clearer and focused more all the time. I love it. That's funny. No, that's but also a great piece of advice.
Yeah.
That was really, truly
true advice.
You got to come from a certain generation, I think, too, to really have that mentality and be able to instill it in people in a genuine way.
And you know, he made a living playing. His name was Kenny Poole, great Cincinnati area legendary musician. And I think Petra had a similar mentors. I mean, that is a question that you're asked quite a lot about, from young people, mm-hmm. students, from, you know, regular, just patrons of the arts. How do you make a living? Or, you know, and it's a very actually complicated and multifaceted question, because, you know, how many kids do you want? As she was joking, what does your spouse do for work? Do they have a good job, or they can, you know, what kind of like family money do you have? Is there some kind of inheritance coming your way, or like,
right?
Because I mean, all that factors in. You know, what are you willing to do musically versus not? Like, how, you know, are you going to play in a wedding band? Are you going to write your own, you know, obscure originals? Are you going to specialize in some thing that, you know, is there a market for it? Like, what's your niche? Who's your customer base? I mean, neither one of us are really like into business, but I mean, on the flip side, this is our business. So you have to get a little bit of that sense of even speaking the lingo, like, you know, who are your clients or something, you know? So a singer calls me for gigs, like, you know, he's one of my clients or something.
Right,
you know?
right.
Or like you joke, like, oh, so-and-so got the account now with that person, you know, they're not hiring me anymore, you know? You just like, you know, it's, you know, because in a way, I mean, it's just, it's like if you're a private eye, or just the lingo, it's like you're hustling for business.
Yeah. Yep. And there's so, that word again, hustling.
Yeah.
It's true. What else you guys got for us?
I was thinking this tune that I think everybody associates with Chet Baker, great trumpeter and singer. There was a documentary about him. I don't know if you've seen that, Let's Get Lost.
No, I've not.
It's a wonderful documentary. You've got to see it.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really insightful, and this song, Let's Get Lost, that we're about to do is kind of the opening of the documentary, and kind of floats throughout it as kind of a theme song. It's by Frank Lesser.
Send out alarms, and though they'll think it's rather rude, oh, let's tell the world we're in that crazy mood. Let's defrost in a romantic mist. Let's get crossed off everybody's list to celebrate this night we've found each other. Ooh, let's get lost. Thank you. Let's get lost in each other's arms. Let's get lost, let them send out alarms. And though they'll think it's rather rude, oh, let's tell the world we're in that crazy, crazy mood. Let's defrost in a romantic mist. Let's get crossed off everybody's list. To celebrate this night, we've found each other.
Do something from another movie. Let's do a tune from a Western. Andy and I not only like old movies, music, but we like old movies and music, and we like film noir. We like old Westerns. This is from an old Western called Johnny Guitar.
Oh, yeah.
And this is
Johnny Guitar?
This is the song Johnny Guitar.
Joan Crawford and old, what's his name? The guy from
Hayden,
what's his name?
Sterling Hayden.
Hayden.
Sorry.
So great. He's got the guitar case, but he doesn't have a guitar. The guitar
one of those names, I think, kind of lost in film history. He was in a ton of movies.
Yeah, I was thinking of him, Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, that's right.
Mandrake.
That's right. An old guy like that, kind of Hollywood, old part of the studio system, and then he sit on that set in that movie going, what in the hell are we, what are we doing here?
This song was used in that movie Johnny Guitar, and I think I'm trying to remember if maybe in the credits you hear the lyrics, but I know you don't hear it during the actual movie. But it's written by Victor Young, and the lyrics are actually by Peggy Lee, my favorite singer, and she does a beautiful, beautiful version of it.
Let me just say a few words about Victor Young, because I like to always tell people about the great Victor Young, the composer of this. Recently, it came to my attention, Victor Young wrote every great tune there ever was. Because you think of Gershwin, Cole Porter, Jerome Kern, you often forget Victor Young, who wrote, that's right, Stella by Starlight.
Street of Dreams,
My Foolish Heart, Sweet Sue, Just You, all Love Letters Straight from the Heart. I mean, he wrote a ton of great tunes. So Victor Young. Golden Earrings,
that's right.
Again, another one of those names that just gets lost in history.
And from Chicago, originally.
Oh, there you go.
Uh-oh, on the show, see?
Look at that.
Go Bears.
That's serendipity right there.
One of the chances. It's 1 in 10, probably. Okay. What are we doing? Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Play the guitar. Play it again, my Johnny. Maybe you're cold, but you're so warm inside. I was always a fool for my Johnny. For the one they call Johnny Guitar. Play it again, Johnny Guitar. Whether you lie, whether you steal, I love you. love you. Whether you're cruel, you can be kind. I know. I was always a fool for my Johnny, for the one they call Johnny
beautiful song, and luckily that's one that the kids of today know, strangely. They do that? Because there's a video game called Fallout that uses quite a bit of Billie Holiday music and Peggy Lee music. Whoa. And sometimes somebody, when I'll sing that, there'll be, you know, a 14-year-old boy who will say, I know that song. So that's good. That's our connection with
that's
the kids.
Audience.
That's our
yeah.
That's our new target audience. Will you help us, Mike, with that?
Another tune? Another song? What do you got over there, Patriot? You got the list.
Should we do our song of International Adultery?
Yeah, let's do International Adultery. Another film song. This is from Pink Panther, Shot in the Dark, mm-hmm. maybe? Henry Mancini wrote this.
Actually, you're thinking of a different one, but...
Oh, what are you thinking of?
Oh,
you're thinking of When in Rome.
Let's do that. Why don't we do the one you're speaking of?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do that one. Let's do Pink Panther song.
Okay, this is from the Pink Panther. This is called It Had Better Be Tonight, otherwise known as Meglio Stasera. So you'll hear me speak a few lines of Italian in this song. And this is English lyrics by Johnny Mercer. Music by Henry Mancini.
Meglio stasera, baby, go, go, go. Or as you natives say, fa subito. If you're ever gonna kiss me, it had better be tonight. While the mandolins are playing and stars are bright. If you've anything to tell me, It had better be tonight, or somebody else may tell me and whisper the words just right. Melios the Sierot, baby, go, go, go. Or as you natives say, Fasubito.
Yep. We're ready for the Italian wedding circuit.
We're available.
How long have you guys been in Chicago?
21 years.
21?
Yep.
Since
2003.
Yeah.
Almost, you know, fall of 2003. So 21 years.
You think this city has had an impact, like, at all on you when it comes to, like, the evolution of your craft, of your artistry?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. One was just getting... Well, for me, I hadn't been doing this terribly long before we moved here, so just any experience that would come if just living anywhere, because the more gigs you play, obviously, it's like the 10,000 hours or whatever it is that, you know, you have to accrue your time. So just that. And then just a lot of the musicians, really, that I've met that were great influences on me personally, like someone who recently in 2019 passed away was Mark Pompei, mm-hmm. a magnificent singer and pianist, and he was a huge mentor both musically and personally. And then great singers like Judy Roberts, singer-pianist Judy Roberts. She was a huge mentor for me and help for me. And Jeannie Lambert's one of my absolute favorite singers. So just some of the people I get to hear and see. And then the people that we get to play with all the time. I mean, you know, our Recession 7 band, mm-hmm. all those guys are veterans. Russ Phillips and Eric Schneider and Art Davis. And I mean, just everybody, you know, that I've had we've had the opportunity to play with. Every person you ever play with makes an impact on you, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, speaking of Eric Schneider, people, there was almost a riot last night at the mill when they got there. They realized you weren't there, Andy. They were like, who's this Eric Schneider clown? Who's this guy?
I'm sure they survived.
I thought you were going to say there was a riot when they realized he was there. Like, woo, Eric Schneider!
No. They were like, where's Andy Brown?
I mean, there's, like, I think, you know, the city, too, it just allows you to do what you want. I mean, it's sort of like, I think we both, as much as we've been influenced by the music that we've encountered here, I think we knew kind of what we'd wanted to do, and we thought that this city would offer an outlet for what we kind of wanted. So, I mean, you know, we moved here when we were 27, 28, so not that we were in any way fully formed, but, you know, getting closer to 30, we kind of knew more like what we wanted. We had lived in New York City for a while and soaked up some stuff there that we kind of, you know, sort of cherry-picked what we liked there and what we might want to follow through with. But, you know, Chicago seemed kind of wide open in a mm-hmm. way. Like, mm-hmm. what if you know what you want to do, there's plenty of opportunity to do it here.
I think that shows across the arts. I mean, within music. I mean, think about all of. I mean, just within the jazz scene, we'll say. I mean, all mm-hmm. the different everything that's going on. I mean, you've got obviously the Rempus and Vandermark schools, and then you obviously have the more traditional stuff, like people like you were talking about with Recession 7, those musicians and everything that. I think with this across the arts, there is really that kind of. And I don't know if it's because it's just this working class city that's how it all started, and just people are like just rolling up their sleeves, and it's about the work. I know when I moved here to do theater in the late 90s, and that was always the big appeal, is I just kept hearing about, you go up there to do it, it's about the work. And you're not going there to try to become a star. You're not going there to try to further your career in a way that's just on the eye for the money. You're going there to learn, because you're going to be learning while you're doing it. Because you're going to be surrounded by incredibly talented people who, in a just world, would be the ones making millions of dollars what they're doing. I think as part of that, I think there's that kind of that city, that mentality.
I mean,
here.
The other thing I'd add to that, which I always try to tell people, is like, you know, having lived here for 20 years, growing up in upstate New York, near New York City, living in New York City, also spending 11 years living in Cincinnati, like, Chicago is not New York or L.A., but it's also not Cincinnati.
Right.
I mean,
right.
No knock to Cincinnati, right. Or New Paltz, this little college town I grew up in New York. I mean, you know, it's a working class town to a certain degree, although that's sort of a thing we all say.
But
you know,
should change.
You should see some of the apartments I've played
Christmas parties in. I think the DNA is there, but yes, it's changed.
Like, for me, it's more like you can just do anything. If you wanted to be some super rich billionaire like Ken, whatever his name was, Griffith, like be that dude or whatever, you could be that here. If you want to be like a blues man or a musical theater person and make your living and doing musical theater, I know people that do that, or classical music, and you don't just have to play in the CSO, you can freelance. I mean, way more than you could in Cincinnati.
Sure.
Cincinnati
right.
had some unbelievable musicians for us, you know, it's a town about the size of Milwaukee, but
right.
But here, I mean, it's like, that's what's so interesting for us, because I grew up near New York. She had a lot of experiences in New York City. We both had that in our brain a lot, and we had a lot of friends who went to L.A. We grew up in a performing arts background since we were kids, so a lot of our friends went to L.A., and did very well. So it's like, it ain't going to be that, but it ain't going to be Cincinnati either.
Right.
All of our musician friends who live in Cincinnati are super jealous of all of the things we get to do here.
Sure.
I think
sure.
when you're in Chicago.
Yeah, they think it's a huge, like, you know, this to them is the big city. With the way we look at New York, looking at this.
I mean, when we lived in Cincinnati, I'll speak for you as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we looked at Chicago and New York as the same. If you would take a trip to Chicago, you'd go to the Showcase and go to shows and go to the Cubs game and go here and go there.
Go downtown, you were like,
God, you go to New York, you'd go do the same thing. I mean, you do find out, okay, New York is New York, just like Moscow is Moscow and London is London and Paris is Paris. Like, okay, nothing's going to be that. But, you know, I don't know. I think, like, Chicago, to me, I mean, that's the thing that makes it good, is that it's amazingly awesome in terms of what you can do here, mm-hmm. but it's always going to be kind of below the radar of New York and LA.
Yeah, that's very much
the way it is. So
there's less competition for everything, which is good, because it's better to be a medium fish, I think. You know, say that even with kids going to college, you know, that's like a new thing. Like, if you're really smart, don't go to the top college and put yourself with all the biggest fish, even if you are your big fish in your town, because that's hard.
Yeah, and accrue an incredible amount of debt in the process.
Yeah, and the other cool thing is just the, you know, not that it's wildly affordable, but it's more affordable
you know
than a lot of places, so that's really nice.
In places that are smaller even.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I was looking at cost of living. We're just showing how much in places like Austin, which is smaller, still top 10 I think at this point in the country, it's just exploded, but I mean, it's so much more expensive living in Chicago. That blows my mind. My daughter lives down there, and she's telling me about how much she pays, and so like for a studio there is like almost it's between Chicago and New York prices at this point.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's kind of, and people can't stay there. You know, people are having to leave.
And so, see, going back to what we were saying before, when you're in the arts, like, I think your main goal is to, if you're a true artist, like, if you just want to get famous, that's one thing. Yeah. But if, say, you're a true artist, all you really want to do is work, what you're saying.
Yeah.
So if you want to work, then you need. And you also want to not have to work at a day job, not just because a day job is a drag, but because it's dragging your time away from, it's so hard to, to do the creative work you need to do and do the hustle you need to do to get the gigs, and you don't have time
to rehearse,
for a day job.
To write,
right.
to whatever it is that you do.
So you need that. You need that low overhead once again, so that you can afford to do as much creative work and as little work as possible.
Yeah, no, right on. Right
so
on.
To me, that's why Chicago's great. But don't tell anybody.
Yeah, no.
Or at least tell a few people, because we need more people to play with. But we don't want to tell everybody because we don't want everyone coming.
Yeah, we'll give them the test when they get to the city limits. Yeah, we'll catch them at the airport and be like, fill this out. Yeah.
It was some of it too is like, you know, it's all, you know, we're not trying to recreate the past, even though we play but older music. But you know, it's sort of a dichotomy. I mean, it's fresh to us. It's always discovering new songs, but they're usually old songs. But all of it is somewhat beyond its prime. So there's nowhere where, like, this stuff is totally thriving. There's nowhere on planet Earth, New York or anywhere,
right.
London. I mean, there's no. You're going to have to find a little small group of people that share your interests, and we did that in Cincinnati, we did that in New York, and we've done it here. I mean, you're going to do it anywhere, and there always are kindred spirits, you know. It's just rare everywhere. You know, I have good friends in New York, and it's very rare there, you know, because it's just the way it is everywhere. Everything we were talking before about AI, and I mean, all this, it's worlds apart. I mean, we're like people in the 20th century trying to live like it's the 1800s, you know, like, man. If I could just get a gig, you know, writing string quartets for Duke,
right,
you know, that would be great.
Right,
if I could
just
type this on the typewriter.
Let's hear a couple more songs.
All right.
Yeah, I want to, and then I want to actually have a question about the music, but I want to hear a couple more songs, and I got another question about. Yeah.
What do you got over there on the list?
Too Late Now, Peace.
Let's do the piece. This is a beautiful tune by Horace Silver, pianist.
Yeah.
Wrote the music and the lyrics. Let's see.
There's a place that I know where the sycamores grow and the daffodils have their fun, where the cares of the day seem to slowly fade away in the glow of the evening sun. When this day is done, if I go there real late, let my mind meditate on everything to be done. If I search deep inside, let my conscience be my guide, then the answer are sure to come. Don't have to worry, none. Don't say that it can't be done with a new point of view. Life's true meaning comes to you, and the freedom you seek is won. Peace is for everyone.
Let's do another one. What else you got on that list?
This is a limited list all of a sudden.
Really? We can do anything we
want. I know.
You can do anything you want here.
We can do anything we want here.
Yeah.
Let's do the, I like that When in Rome song.
Okay, that's right. So this is our song of international adultery. This is a song written by great pianist, and singer, and composer Cy Coleman. He wrote a lot of tunes that Frank Sinatra did, like Why Try to Change Me Now, and The Best Is Yet to Come, and Witchcraft. But I read that his favorite singer was not Sinatra, but it was actually Tony Bennett.
Nice.
And Tony Bennett had a big hit on this one. He played it in a duet with Bill Evans, the pianist. And it's a cute little tune. The song about you've gone off on an international trip by yourself, and you're trying to tell your loved one back home, don't worry, I'm kind of over drinking and maybe flirting a little bit, but hey, it's not because I'm, you know, a bad person. It's just because when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. That's just how they do it over here, you know? So, good excuses.
When in Spain, for reasons I don't explain, I remain, enjoy and a brew. Don't deplore my fondness for Fondador. You know how a Fondador can lead to a few. And baby, when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. If perchance I'm saying farewell to France and romance drops in from the blue. Cher amour, I beg of you, please endure my taking a brief detour with somebody new. It's just that when in Rome, I do as the Romans do. And though from Italy, I lie to you prettily, don't think of me bitterly, you know that I'm true. Except now and then in Rome, I get that old yen in Rome. And naturally, then in Rome, I do as the Romans do.
Rhyming Napoli with Snappily.
Yeah, come on.
That's come amazing. On.
Well, I think it may be connected to the question I'm going to ask you. So we get to these incredibly well-crafted songs, but what is the appeal? Why do these songs last? Why? Because, and I don't know, and I not to dismiss any music that's being made, but a lot of music that's being produced right now, nobody's going to listen to in 60, 70 years. It's just not, I don't think.
What if they do?
Well, right. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that these songs have just appealed to so many people over such a long period of time. And I wonder why, what it really is that, again, just besides the fact that they're well-crafted songs, but what is it that just keeps them going? What's the secret?
Quality?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a good question. I mean, the it's very complicated, and it's probably above my pay grade. I mean, it's like, because it's very much, it's part of me wants to say they're not really listened to that much. I mean,
that's true.
A lot of times, and probably like in every kind of older music, classical music, whatever, it gets less and less. You know, the people that have a frame of reference to the more obscure, or even not totally obscure, but it just the people that are, they're getting older and they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure, like Petra said, I mean, it's all from our particular vantage point.
Right.
We're all around the same age here.
I guess, I'm asking, why do they survive? Why are people still playing them? Why are these music?
But again, a lot of people aren't.
Right.
There's not, there's only a small group of people.
Yeah.
Although it does seem like to me that young people. Well, nowadays, I think young people actually hear them more because of things like YouTube or whatever.
Sure.
But I think there was a period of time where if you were younger, unless somebody, exposed you to this, how would you hear it?
Right.
But I often think that when people do hear it, they do seem to like it. It's universally
there's so many reasons for
liked. I agree with you.
America, you can go, for example, America, where they always say, we're not interested in our history because we're such a new country. We're just, our whole vibe since its inception has been like pushing forward. Mm-hmm. Europeans always say that when they come here, you don't care. And look at Asia. I mean, look at the history in Japan and China. I mean, they have this vast history of their arts, their classical arts. We don't even know what our classical arts are here.
Right. They're borrowed from other cultures, I feel in some ways.
But jazz and these songs, in a way, Broadway songs, different than Gilbert and Sullivan type songs. Broadway.
This is very American.
It's very American. Yeah, and they always say jazz is America's greatest art form. And I always think, what about Broadway? There's a couple of art forms that are really American. And so, but we don't know how to do it because we either get put on a suit and tie and get real serious and start lecturing people this is America's real music,
Yeah, right, sure.
Or we combine it with such disparate fusion of different musics that it loses its whole character.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
just don't know how to do it. We think jazz, we have this vision of jazz, quote unquote, as this super evolving thing, and if you're not pushing the envelope like Coltrane and McCoy and Miles, that somehow you're not really doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's, we don't even know what the history of it is yet because it's so new. So I just think because the other thing then your question might be, why do we like these songs?
Sure. What is it about it that appeals to you?
Because that's really what it is, because I don't even know, we go to these retirement homes and play for older people, and there's just less people that recognize any of this stuff. So for us, it's just, it's tied so much into the musical style. The songs are intrinsically woven into the musical styles that we like, the styles of singers that Petra likes. They just do or did these songs.
I didn't have to force myself to like any of this. I was a little kid, anytime I heard anything that was even remotely like this, even before I knew what it was or wanted to have anything to do with it, if I heard it on a radio or in a commercial or something, I just was always drawn to this type of music, big band. I remember there was a station that came out of a retirement home. It still exists in Cincinnati, where I'm from, WMKV. And I liked it. They played a lot of big band music.
Sure.
And I don't know why. It just sounded good to me.
That station still exists?
Yeah.
And they're still running out of a nursing home?
Yeah, but
that's
a big station, actually. It's a pretty hip station. To me, it's hip. Your thing about why do people like these songs, though, is One thing that always strikes me is that Christmas time, everyone loves Christmas music. And people think that it's because it's just these songs they've heard since they were young. Like, I love White Christmas. I love, you know, Let It Snow. And I beg to differ. I think the reason people like Christmas songs is because it's a good song with good harmony, a good melody, sung by a good singer with great musicians. And it's like a song, a Great American Songbook type song. Sure, they've heard it a lot, so they recognize it. But I think the reason they really like it is because it's the quality factors that you're talking about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's so fascinating to get into all these things because the whole concept of quality and artistry in music, maybe in all the arts, but in music, is so interesting because it seems like there was a tradition of quality and craft in songwriting and playing instruments and singing, that while there was new styles, it was all related to this kind of benchmark of quality and craft and what it required. And then at some point in this postmodern age, you know, I don't know if it's the Beatles' fault or kids playing their, you know, guitars they've owned for 6 months and writing quote-unquote their own music.
Right.
It just became, I mean, to me, that's a totally different bag than songwriting and instrumental music and playing. You know, it's just a different bag. I'm not saying one's better or worse. I'm just saying it's like a different ball game. It's like the difference between football and baseball. They're both sports, but one is, I don't know.
Yeah, apples and oranges. No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you on that. I think when people when people get in these things of that music's bad and this is good and that kind of thing, and I think like I listen to everything. Yeah. I listen a little bit of everything, and it's all as we all know, it's all subjective anyway. I mean, it's all completely, I mean, it's like,
Right, I mean, everything ultimately is in a way, I mean, but you know, that's where it gets weird, because you could say anything, you know, architecture is subjective, or painting, or this, and plenty of people do, you know, you go out to dinner with a friend whose wife is a, you know, modern artist at the Art Institute, and you get into all kinds of wild discussions, and they open your mind to like, oh, you know, but I think Petra's point, I really actually think it's dead on in a way, it's like, and that, again, back to what I was trying to say about America not paying attention to its history, like, there's just, I mean, the quality, meaning the lyricists knew about poetry. They knew about meter. They knew about the songs.
Internal rhymes.
They knew about Lieder and Schubert, and they knew about all. They studied at the conservatory. The composers, you know, they studied Ravel and Debussy. I mean, some of them studied with those people. Like,
and we're also going and catching the jazz acts that we're playing as well. Yeah.
I mean, in the instrumental quality of all the musicians, I mean, they were playing live on the radio, like how we're talking. They were doing this 5 days a week with music that was being put in front of them they'd never seen. They were singing in harmonies. They were doing so many things. They were playing circuses.
No overdubs.
Traveling.
Yeah, right.
You know, whether it was no silent auto-tune movies or whether it was theater. I mean, it was just gigs and work and floor shows, and everybody's level of musicianship was so high. And it's just that level of craft and singing, I mean, sight singing and all these things. It's so different than like auto-tune and, you know, doing it with a computer and AI. I mean, it's just a completely different bag. So I think people are kind of like starved for that. So even nowadays when the old people aren't coming out as much, or the young people, like Petra's, you know, pointing out a lot lately, you know, they might not quite know the songs, but they really recognize something good is happening, and that gets them excited.
Yeah, that's a new thing post-pandemic for me. Like pre-pandemic, almost everyone that ever came to see me was at least 65 years old. But now there's some younger people, and the older people actually stopped coming, which is kind of sad, just for them and for us. But I feel like the younger people, like Andy said, they don't have any frame of reference, and yet they can dig it. Well, and I try not to vibe them that they don't know what it is, because, you know, it's like me. We have this discussion, me in an art museum. I mean, I don't know the history of a lot of things, but I can look at something and enjoy it. And I don't think you have to be, you know, some...
A critic
or to be very knowledgeable about something, to even have like a really good sense of
if something
is good or bad.
I feel like people are like, well, why do you like it? I don't know, man. I just like the colors.
I know, whatever it is.
I just like the way it sounds. I like the way it makes me feel.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I know. And I love talking to people about art and getting into it and whatever. But there was a couple of points, I think, with certain discussions where I find I can't articulate what it is. It's just, I just like it. That's all I got for you, you know?
Right.
And sometimes that's not good enough for people. They really want to, like, you know. And it's like, I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the thing to say to you that is that explains it.
No, and it's weird because it's very difficult. Like, it's not, you know, there's no, like, political reason for what we're doing.
Yeah,
you
sure,
know,
like, sure, sure.
You know, there's no, like, undertrying to make a statement or trying to, like, say one thing is good and another's bad. And it's like, I think it's more, you know, I think we're both fairly unique or something. Like, we're not, no one told us to do this, or it's not exactly what's going
the
on.
The communists aren't controlling you. Yeah, I'm not telling you.
No,
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of conformity in jazz and in music. And in, I mean, there's just a ton of, there's just conformity. So.
Well, luckily, we both didn't go to school for this, which I think is a plus.
Yeah,
I agree.
I
think there's a lot of conformity, as you probably do. Well, you taught
in the
acting
theater
in
world.
School,
no, absolutely.
You know what I'm
there
talking
factories.
About.
There are
like,
a lot of
there
factories.
Is, and like they tell you what to listen to, who to like, yeah. what to emulate, and well, how are you going to sound like your own thing if everybody is going through the same.
These
process.
Are the things you're going to do. This because
right.
you fit in this box.
Yeah,
right.
It works.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Petra went to CCM in Cincinnati, and you know they only accept a freshman class of 10 or 15 people.
Right.
And they kick several of them out before they reach their senior year, and then everyone graduates. They do a showcase in New York and get agents, and including Petra, she got right on the chorus line, you know, Equity Tour. They push her out. But, I mean, she quickly got into other things. But many of her classmates, I mean, one of them won a Tony for Best Female yeah. Actress. I mean, they knew what they were doing. But Petra was always butting heads with the staff because she was unique and had her own take, and of course instantly like you know rebelling
like
against it
yeah.
like,
even then yeah I don't know why I've just never wanted to go with a party line of anything
yeah,
I think people
either.
don't know that about me because I don't seem subversive if you just look at me but
well, they don't know how dark Andy is
right,
unless
well,
I know,
the
I
other,
think
the other
I
mentor
just,
of mine told me if you're gonna be subversive you got to keep a low profile
yeah,
which
gonna,
I thought was
no.
yeah like come in looking like all like look how you look like yeah. You know an accountant but meanwhile you're totally subversive
like you know if you want to get away with stuff you gotta keep
look at Noam Chomsky that guy doesn't look like he's
right.
like there's an old
totally.
NYU professor that guy you listen to that guy talk man
right.
he's railing I want to hear one more song if that's
okay.
cool you guys
right.
but before we get to that I want to just anything you guys want to put out there as far as shows that's going on anything you want to promote it sounds like you guys are busy and a lot of things going on so
maybe we should just say our websites
yeah there you go
I mean Petra's website it's spelled Petra but pronounced Petra because she's different so it's PETRASings.com.
Yep.
Petra Sings. Mine is AndyBrownGuitar.com. And so we keep our calendars on our websites very up to date. So, yeah, I mean, I play at the Green Mill every Thursday and lead my quartet at Andy's every Sunday night. Petra and I play together every Wednesday at a place in Oak Park called Hemingway's Bistro, which is a great French restaurant. Petra is also there every Sunday for brunch with great guitarist Andy Pratt.
That guy.
Friend of the show and you know we're at the Jazz Showcase with our Recession 7 band the Tuesday before the 4th of July I think it's the 2nd of July that should be a nice concert
yeah
we play at Winter's Jazz Club quite a bit and so we're just all around check the websites
yeah, a lot of stuff going on
yeah
cool that's awesome good to hear it is always a pleasure I think we could probably sit here and talk for hours about this stuff as
come
always
back.
Yeah all right part two and a half but what are we gonna hear to get us out of here
I don't know maybe too late now cause
yeah
it's
this is a beautiful
too late.
Beautiful ballad too late now
normally when you hear the words too late now it's a negative thing but with this song it's a positive thing it's too late now I'm already in it too deep and I love you too much Forget your smile, the way we cling when we've danced a while. Too late now to forget and go on to someone new. Too late now to forget your voice. The way one word makes my heart
don't rejoice. Too late now to imagine myself away from you. All the things we've done together, I relive when we're apart. All the tender fun together stays on in my heart. How can I ever close the door and be the same as I was before, darling? No, no, I can't anymore. It's too late.
Andy Brown, Petra Van Ness, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, it's Mike. Great to have
thank
you in the studio.
This is beautiful music, and thanks for the stimulating conversation. Again, I think we could
likewise
talk. We could go on and on and on about stuff.
That's what we do, Mike.
That's what we do, yeah. We're going to solve all the world's problems sooner or later. We'll figure it out. So
someone order a pizza.
Or 10. Yeah. We might be here a while. Anyway, thanks so much, guys. Anything you want to say before we get out of here? Any shout-outs?
Always,
anybody you want to say hello to?
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Oh,
always
yeah,
great,
thank you.
Great to
thanks
talk
so
to you,
much.
See you and always for years we've been chatting, so always a pleasure.
You're chatting and it's not even at the Green Mill,
right?
This is amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wasn't there yesterday.
People were livid. Thanks guys very much.
All right, thank you.